Good morning, friends that are worshiping with us online, as well as Bush Lake and West Tonka, and those here in Chanhassen. And if you're a guest, we're really delighted that you're with us today. It's a special day, and we think you'll experience the presence of the Lord in a very good way, a tov way, our theme word for the year, which I'll wrap up the series today. And we look forward to next week when we turn the chapter to a new series called The Relationship Tool Belt. And it's an opportunity just to pay attention to our relationships, marriage relationships, and other relationships. We're going to identify seven-week series, seven tools you need in the tool belt. Some of that might need refining and sharpening. It might be a missing tool for you, so you'll be blessed in that. And can I just say that there's an opportunity here to invite people that you know that could use an uptick in their relationship. Invite them for next Sunday as we begin with the first tool, which is communication. Well, today we're going to wrap up this series called Tov, and it's been so good to be together, and we'll take the Tov stories that we've heard now and even throughout the year, because it's the theme word for the year. We'll sprinkle it in through the ministry hosting spots at all of our campuses, and we'll celebrate Tov all year long. I do want to give you a reminder. Please memorize Psalm 23:6. For surely goodness, Tov, and mercy will follow you all of your days. It'll chase after you. It will run after you all of your days, which means God is at work in your life every day. And so I've asked this interactive question. I've asked for an audible response to a question. You guys have been terrific. This is the last time you're getting it, at least in this series. But do you believe that God is at work in and around your life doing good every day? Yes. Oh, man, you've come a long way in 5 weeks. So thanks for doing that. And I pray that's the case at West Tonka and Bush Lake, that we're a yes to that question because he is. So the invitation in the series has been quite simply, with your eyes, see it, the good that God is doing. With your heart, receive it. And with your journals, record it. And with your hands open, share it with others. So we've been giving a Tov journal over these weeks, and already the stories are coming in. It's been beautiful to see. If you yet have to receive your Tov journal, you can get it at our usher stations at each of our sites and pick it up. This is a comment from an online worshiper that I thought was interesting. It speaks to the reality of what it is to start recording. So I've said, just put one sentence in a journal. Many of you may not journal at all, but everybody can put one sentence in a journal. And by the time you get to the end of the year, you'll have a string of pearls that will just so bless you in your life. It's amazing. But this is from an online worshiper who says, I'm going to do my best to write in it each day. I've never kept a journal or a diary, so this will be a challenge for me, but I'm excited to see how it changes me. Thank you for sending the journal all the way here to New Mexico. And I love that. We have 13 states that have asked for Tov journals, different people around the country. And we have many more states that are tuning in. But the Tov journal is available for you online and wherever we are. And what will happen in 2025? We are going to have waves of goodness come over our lives. In fact, you will see God. And maybe you could just stop there. You will see God, that he is good and he wants goodness for you. You will be more grateful. You will be more positive. We could maybe even move the needle in our culture a little bit more toward the positive perspective of life. That would be a good thing that would result from it. So take that journal, write one good thing, and let's see how God celebrates through his body who is paying attention to his goodness in life and journey. My message today is called Tov Work. Really, the heart of the message is we get to work. We get to work, not I have to go to work. We get to work. So would you say to your neighbors those words, we get to work. Go ahead, share it with them. Yeah. Expression deepens impression. So I want to put this into your head when you leave. Oh, we get to work. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to say, I get to work. And that will be a positive way to start your day. In fact, work is a big deal in the scriptures. We find that Jesus appears 130 times, 132 times in the New Testament. 123 of those 132 times, he's in a marketplace setting. He wrote 52 parables, and 45 of the 52 parables are in a workplace environment. He used work all the time to be a teaching point. In fact, more of Jesus' life was spent at work as a carpenter than as a teacher. And that kind of makes sense when you think about it, because it's estimated that every person here, that you will on average work 100,000 hours in your lifetime. That's a third of your life. A good portion of your life goes in that given direction. So you can just take that right back to the beginning of your journey. Do you remember the first job you had and how you felt about it? You were probably a little giddy about it because your first job, you feel responsible. I remember mine, which, by the way, that would be a fun conversation to have at lunch today. What was your first job and what do you remember about it? Have that conversation before the Super Bowl events take place in your life. But my first job growing up in a family restaurant business with my dad was to be a dishwasher. I had greater aspirations to be a cook. Eventually that would happen, but started out as a dishwasher and it was good. I felt proud about that. Got a little paycheck sometimes, not always. And yet, you know, having that little money provided a little extra fun, it felt good. So something happens from the time we get that first job and we grow into our adult years and the responsibilities that come with work. And sometimes it just shifts for us. And all of a sudden, something you thought I get to do, now I have to do. Like it's a necessary evil, like maybe even a punishment or a curse that gets in the way of all the good things that God wants to do in and through us. But here's the reality. God has a vision for work. And he calls it Tov. And I want to give our energy today with the hope that there might be a paradigm shift in your head from I have to work to I get to work. And we get that glimpse by looking at the benefits that come from getting to work. The Bible gives us really biblical, relevant opportunities to see the benefits that come. I'm going to look at five of them. The first is probably the most important, at least right up there. And the first benefit is you get to fulfill God's purpose for your life. We wonder who we are, and we wonder what is our purpose in life. Well, work is part of satisfying that. You will fulfill God's purpose for your life. See, God created work. Work was meant to be a blessing and a gift in your life. That work was something that God intended for a plan for all of humanity to embrace. In fact, God got into a creating mode when you look at how he worked and you open up the first pages of Genesis and you see all the things that he created and each day he took a step back and said, oh, it's Tov, it's good, it's magnificent, it's awesome what God created. But then on the sixth day, he creates male and female. And sometimes we stop there and forget that on that same day, he called it Tov Meod, very good. That is creating male and female, but with it came, you could call it a command, you could call it an invitation to work. We find it in Genesis 1. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Now, maybe we could just stop right there. Be fruitful, increase in number. I would call that fun, creative work. You get to have babies. And what a celebration that is. Have fun with the creative power that God has given to us. And then he continues, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So we have to pause for a moment and just say the word subdue and rule got hijacked in our broken state of sin. Because what is intended here is not a power over the resources that God has given to us. It's a power under, steward, the beautiful, magnificent resources God has given to us for the help of mankind as well as to the honor of God. We steward this given season, and we need that reminder. But I want you to see something happens in this passage that God gives this, creates male and female, and he gives this command to work. And he sees it as Tov Meod, very, very good. And in that place where he gives it, it's a gift. It's a blessing that he's given to us. And if it's a blessing and a gift, then you have to ask yourself the question, why are we so unhappy in our work? And we are. In fact, just recently, Gallup came out with their most recent report that speaks to the state of the global workforce report. And in that report, 19% of people are miserable in their work. Miserable. And get a hold of this. This is staggering. 60% are unhappy in their work. That means 79% are unhappy, dissatisfied, or miserable in their work. But God created it to be good and a blessing. So what's happened here? Well, we could say that there's the fall that comes because of sin. So on this side, it's called the gift work is. On this side, it disrupts our relationship with work, and now it's called toil. Does it mean it's no longer tov or good? No, absolutely. It's still good. God is now restoring through the presence of Jesus Christ what he originally created, that we would see work as tov, as good, as a blessing. We get to work versus I have to work on this side of the equation where it becomes toil. And I think, okay, maybe that is one of the primary contributors to why we're so unhappy and dissatisfied with our work, because we live on the toil side and we think I have to work. And no doubt that contributes to our dissatisfaction. But could I just tug at you for a moment? Or could I ask the Holy Spirit to tug in your own mind and your understanding? Can you come back to what God created here? Could it be that we don't know, haven't thought about it much, we don't understand, we don't embrace the fundamental reality that tov, that work is tov, that it's good. And if we had a paradigm shift in our mind and we saw what God originally created, knowing that he's restoring that through the power of Jesus Christ in us right now, it might change how we show up at work so that we would see it as tov, as good, and as a blessing for us. So God created work, but also God equips people for their work. And you see some beautiful expressions of this in the scriptures. And I love the lofty words, but the reality of what God gives to us when he created us from Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, because God is the original worker, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. And then this beautiful verse, verse 9, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And I bet you know at least one song with that lyric in there. Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So you have this picture, this reminder that we are the crown, humanity, you are the crown of what God has created. You are the best of the best of the very best that God has created. And in the process of that, think about the significant skills that he's given to us. Think about leadership and management capacities that he's given to us. You think about the enormous talents and abilities that are here represented, the mechanical kind of aptitude that some of you had, scientific understanding that allows this gift of even decision-making, the power to make decisions, the power to think deeply and to evaluate, to solve and to synthesize what's before so we can get on the solution side of things, all come because of the creative power of God in us. It's something to be celebrated. So friends, what God is saying here is we get to be like God. Wow. We're not omnipotent, and that is all-powerful the way he is. We're not omnipresent. We're not everywhere present like he is. We're not omniscient. We're not all-knowing like he is. Oh, but we are like him in character. And character always leads. And character always seeks to do new things and find ways to do new things. This is what God has given to us, which humors me when I think about raising our children, because I was so steadfast and strong when our four-year-old would start that little phrase to say, hey, Daddy, I'm bored. And I have this, you've heard me say this throughout the years, and I had this little phrase I'd say to the four-year-old, no, boredom is a result of an inactive mind. Activate your mind. You should say that to your four-year-old. By the time they're 13, they'll start to grasp it. By the time they're 18, they'll start to live it in a whole new kind of way. Because we have been given this beautiful picture and reminder that we have the creative resources of God. If we activate our mind, we do not get bored. We step into what he's given to us, and we fulfill the purposes that he has for us in our journey. So much so that you can almost hear God whisper into your ear when you work, I am going to stretch you and surprise you. I'm going to challenge you and awaken you with the remarkable talents that I have given to you. That's his intention. so that you will fulfill your purpose in life, that you will experience joy of accomplishment and know the satisfaction. No, that's the first benefit, and probably the lengthier one for me, because we need to establish that God created it good. Let's go back to that restorative place. The second benefit is also solid, right from the scriptures. You get to provide for yourself and your family. I want to speak about a verse that speaks about providing for yourself, but also providing for your family. And this is the instruction we receive. You should mind your own business. You want to stop right there. I just love the simplicity of it. You get out of the hairs and the business of everybody else that you just feel like you need to know. No, just mind your own business. And work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Oh, that's really compelling. Work so that you will win the respect of others. When you work well, you will win the respect of others. And work so that you can provide for yourself and even for your family. It's such a good reminder for us that we gain the respect of others in our journey. And by the way, this can happen with paid and unpaid kinds of work that we do. If you give to your children chores to do, which I highly recommend that you do, don't let them go scot-free, give them chores. Yes, maybe give them allowance, but not everything should be monetarily compensated for. They're part of the family. And as children work, they actually help meet the needs of the family as a whole. They contribute to the thriving environment of a family. So paid or non-paid, we find the fruit of what it is to be able to provide for ourselves and as well for our families. I want to pause on that a moment because it is an interesting text that reminds us about not being dependent on others. Occasionally, we are, and it's okay. So yes, we work to be able to provide for ourselves and our families. Yes, to be a witness, but occasionally you hit a bump and you need some help. I think about that in my own personal journey. My mom, a single mom, raising 7 kids, it was challenging. It was a lot of pressure. She was a hard worker. She taught us how to work on so many fronts. But she was a cocktail waitress, and so my 9th and 10th grade year, we hit a bump. She worked from 2 p.m. till 2 in the morning, 12-hour shift. She gave it her all, but could not make ends meet. And for that window, for most of those 2 years, we had to rely on the welfare system to help us get by. And I got a job, my sister got a job. It wasn't a have-to kind of thing. We wanted to be part of the family, in moving us into a more of a thriving reality. And we helped pay for bills. But between those two, it helped us get through that. I'm just saying, occasionally, sometimes you are dependent on others. And there's a reason for it, and that's okay. Now, he speaks about providing for yourself and for your family, but he even extends your family out. You're not gonna like this at all, but take it in, would you? This is the scripture. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow. You think about that, that God's benefits for us in working, yes, is to fulfill the purpose that he has for you to be able to provide for yourself and for your nuclear family. But also, did you ever think, was it on your mind that you're also to take care of your relatives? And you go, what? No way am I taking care of my relatives. No way am I stepping into that. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives has denied faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Boy, does that capture your attention, those strong words. Let me give you the context here. Paul is writing to a reality of widows who were left without resources to take care of their needs. And they could suffer all alone, but he's reminding the families to pay attention and come alongside. Now, you could elaborate on that. It's not like widowhood is the only thing that would create that dynamic. There might be in your family system somebody who's dealing with physical challenges and can't be gainfully employed right now, or mental health challenges and can't be gainfully employed right now, or they find themselves getting older in age, which prohibits the productivity that they had in their earlier years, and they're having a hard time making ends meet. But because of who God is, he cares for family. And this is what he does. This is who he is. And so we, as people of faith, created in the image of God, it's who we are. It's what we do. We care for family. He's not suggesting that we enable laziness. The Bible's very clear about that. It denounces laziness. It condemns dishonest kind of work. But he's calling us to care beyond just ourselves for even our families who might be in a place of need. I knew you would love that verse. You're thinking of the relatives right now that maybe you may need to extend some support to. But you think about Jesus himself. I mean, he had a job to do. And his job, wow, it was a difficult job. He's going to go to the cross. That's why he came, to go to the cross. And we may think, well, that sounds like a have to. He has to do that to make way. But he says, for the joy set before me, I get to go to the cross because the benefit of people who will know God and follow God through faith in Jesus Christ in their life. And what's amazing about that whole thing, that hard job when he's on the cross and he's suffering, who does he see at the foot of his cross but his mother? And he says to John, who's a spiritual brother, yes, but not even a formal blood relative, would you take care of her? We find the compassion of the Lord even in that given moment. And he sets for us a beautiful example around this benefit of caring, yes, for yourself and your family, but even your extended family if need be. And then there's a third benefit, just briefly on this one. You get to help others. That is, we're not the sole beneficiaries of our work. And Paul here is making a distinction of your life before Christ and after coming to faith in Christ. And this is what he says. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. So once you used to steal or scheme or find ways to get ahead, but they weren't in the ways of the Lord. But now you must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Wow. He brings the clear, you see this succession of what's taking place here. Not only is there a benefit of fulfilling the purpose God has for you in your life or providing for your needs personally or your family needs or even the needs of some of your rallies along the way, it's also to care for the needs. Its standard goes higher for those who are in need. You get to help them. You get to come alongside and make their lives better. You get to contribute to the beauty of life when somebody comes along and helps those in life. It enhances the quality of their lives. Whether that's paid work or non-paid work, you may be volunteering, it's a beautiful expression. Which takes us to number four, and that is simply you get to spread the gospel. Now, I'm not sure if that lands on your radar when you go to work, but it's one of the purposes God has for you. He may have strategically placed you in where you're working right now because there are people who simply do not know God. And their heart wants to know, and you become the billboard of Jesus Christ in terms of how you work, et cetera, which is foundational for it. In fact, this is the instruction that we get from Paul. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It tells us to be wise, and it tells us to be prepared. Be wise in that it's simply giving us this picture that God may have strategically placed you right where you are because when we work, we're in proximity to people and maybe you're to be the ones who put Jesus on display, which means the way you show up at work really matters. How you act and react really matters. The words you use and the work you do and the quality of the work really matters. So be prepared is what he's saying. So on the one hand, I think about the extremes of this. On the one hand, there are some overzealous Christ followers who just are so eager to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just start speaking freely in their work environment. But if you do that, I would say pay attention to how you show up at work. Pay attention to how you act and react, the words that you use, as well as the work that you do. The quality of that work, how is it contributing to the mission and the vision of that organization? Because if you're not aligned with the way of Jesus Christ, then your witness will be heard. And people will not really care about your proclamation or spreading the gospel. But on the other hand, if the way that you show up, if the words that you use and the work that you do is aligned with the way of Jesus, people will look at you and go, "What's up with you? How do you show up that way? It's a hard job, and you choose to have a positive spirit when you come in." They will be curious, and they will probably begin to ask you questions about who are you, and boy, what a difference you make here, and what drives that for you. Then you have the opportunity to proclaim the unbelievable love of God with them, because they'll listen to you because you've demonstrated that kind of place and respect in your life. You get to tell others about the fabulous love of God. It's one of the benefits that comes in the journey. And then benefit number five is you get to glorify God. And I'm not sure it gets any better than that. My mentor taught me many years ago that to glorify God means to make God look good. You get to increase the reputation of God. Did you get that? You get to increase the reputation of God. That God is alive, that he's revealed himself in Jesus Christ who is in you. And so we get this reminder in Corinthians, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And the context here is one of freedom. So there was tension all the time with folks depending on what they ate and what they drank. And it could divide and create tension about whether you're authentic in your faith or not. And so whether you eat or drink, have the proper motivation of your heart. Am I glorifying God in what I'm eating or drinking? And you apply that into the work environment too. Am I glorifying God when I show up for school and I take my tests? Have I prepared for those tests? Or if I'm in sports and I'm playing basketball or football, do I glorify God by taking the talents God has given to me and giving him my best? Or any extracurricular activity or workplace that you find yourself? It's just a great question. Am I making you look good, God, by the way I'm showing up in the words that I use and the work that I do? Well, you get the thrust here. This is not a comprehensive list, but God calls us to work, and he calls it tov. And we find the tov of God in the benefits that come from work, that we get to fulfill the purposes that God has for us. It's revealed a lot of it in the work that we do. We get to provide for the needs of ourselves, but also our families and even our relatives. And he raises the bar, even those in need. It's part of the reason we work, to be other-centered and there you are kind of people. And we get to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's no greater truth and news than Jesus Christ is alive and you can know God. And then you have that beautiful reminder in all that you say and do, what you eat and you drink. Let us glorify God together. So I want to close this whole series called Tov by really addressing a segment of workers that I think are often too underappreciated. And I would love just a moment to honor you and to offer a prayer for you. And I am going to ask you, once I define who you are, and you're going, oh, please, not me, not me. I am going to define who it is I'm going to invite to stand and understand. It's not about you, per se. It's about what God has given you, and you're using it for his purposes. Here's who I'm speaking to. I think one of the most underappreciated segments of our population are people who start businesses, who create new products and services, and people who have the responsibility of owning a business and everything that comes with it. It's an incredible responsibility to enter into that place. You might be one who makes widgets for manufacturing, or you write code for new software, or maybe you started a restaurant, or perhaps you run a painting business or landscaping business, or in the more recent innovated work world, perhaps you have been raised up to be an influencer on social media, which is a whole new pathway of communicating products and services to meet the needs of people, or perhaps you own a business. If any of those speak to you, we want to honor you because, honestly, you provide jobs. You make our communities better places to live. You take risk without knowing what the reward or outcomes will be. I know friends who have mortgaged their houses for an enterprise that may or may not work. It's an amazing risk-taking adventure. And you live in the boiler room where there's a lot of pressure and no one knows what it's like to be in the boiler room unless you're in the boiler room, but you deal with the responsibilities and the pressures that come with that. If this be you, if you are a person who started a business, who created a new product or a new service or own a business, could I ask you at Westonka or at Bush Lake, even online and even in this room, would you just take a moment in humility, just stand and let us have a moment to honor you. Please stand if you're one of those people. Don't be shy. Please stand. We want to honor you today. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. I want to offer a prayer over you, and I'm going to invite you to be seated. And would you just receive this prayer? Because God knows. He is the creator God, and he knows what it is to create something out of nothing, and he calls it tov. And you've taken that risk yourself, not without the confidence of God to give you the gifts and abilities, but it's a beautiful gift given to a segment of our population. So would you pray with me, Westonka, Bush Lake Online? Let's offer this prayer in honor of those who are, I guess I could call them Godpreneurs. Lord, lay your hand of favor on those who create new businesses, opportunities, products and services. May they be God-pleasing subduers of the earth who use materials from God's tov, good creation, and works with the God-given gift of money to earn morally good profits and shows love to their neighbors by giving them jobs and producing material goods that meet felt needs, goods that sometimes overcome world poverty, goods that enable people to glorify God, to make him look good, because you are a good God. May they lay their dreams and their plans and their desires at your feet, and may your will be their compass and your wisdom be their guide, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, would you join me one more time in honoring at Bush Lake and Westonka and Online those who have served in that capacity by joining your hands together. Thank you, friends. And I hope on this day you feel the affirmation of what God has given to you. It really benefits us all, and it's a beautiful thing. Well, if we could just stay for a few moments, I have a personal announcement I'd like to make. And if you've been around this journey for a long time, you know how much I love my work. I love serving as pastor of Westwood Community Church. I love this church in every way possible and imaginable. It's been a treasure to be here. And as we've just learned, that God gives us this creative influence to be able to work. It's part of his purpose for it. I feel like I'm in the lane of God's purpose for my life. But there's an ebb and flow to that. There's seasons that are different throughout our life. And Carrie and I are just now entering into a new season. So I wanted to communicate with you, our church family, that, and we're going to stay together with Bush Lake and Westonka and those online for the duration of our whole service today, that in 1 year's time, in January of 2026, I'm going to transition from being the senior pastor of Westwood Church and become the founding pastor of Westwood Church. It's been a big decision to make. Some of you may refer to it as retiring, but that's really more of an American ideal than it is a biblical kind of dream. So if you don't mind, I'm not going to use the word retiring. I'm going to use the word refiring. That I am going to reignite the passion and the skills and abilities God's given to me for a new lane in a more of a part-time capacity in life and journey. And I'm grateful that our leadership board at Westwood has extended an invitation for me to stay on in some capacity. We're still working out the detail of that, but I'm really glad that happened, partly because when I was first thinking of this, I was thinking, well, we should get out of the way for the successor pastor to come in, et cetera. And I said to Carrie, I said, well, what church would you want to go to? And she snapped her head at me, and she said, well, I'm going to go to Westwood Church. I don't care where you're going to go. It was just one sentence, but I got the message. We're starting a relationship series next week. And it was a declarative communication, for sure. But we love this church. This is, we always will call it home, but I'm glad that we'll continue in some capacity here, and it's a privilege to do that. But here's what's ahead for Carrie and for me. Here's what's ahead for you. For Carrie and for me personally, I'm going to be honest. We're going to be intentional to fall in love again in a new chapter of life. And I hope you know this, that there are many chapters to life when you're married to someone, but you have to be intentional. The best of relationships are the result of hard work. We know we'll need to roll up our sleeves for a new chapter and a new rhythm of life. We're going to do that. Plus, we're going to enjoy our children and our grandchildren. What a gift. You just start to realize over time that your friends and your family become just the most important treasures of your journey. So we're going to have a little more flexibility for that. And then professionally, as I said, we're going to hitch our wagon to Westwood in some capacity. We still have some time to sort that out, but it will allow for greater flexibility for me. And then personally, I do want to share this because I think it's important. Our communication team, it's our 30th anniversary, by the way, in case you didn't know that. So all this year, we're going to be celebrating in different ways. They asked if I would look at past journals and just take some snapshots of some of the things through the years that have meant to me. They're going to sprinkle into the publication. And it's been meaningful to step into some of that. And I came across January 10th, 1996, not even a year after starting Westwood Community Church. And I wrote down a reflection based on a text of scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15, and three questions related to it that I just offered myself to the Lord to say, let this be my life focus and fitness for ministry and fitness for life, life and leadership. They don't just apply to me. I think you'll see these questions apply to you. It comes from the text that says, do your best to present yourself as one approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, one who correctly handles the word of truth. And the three questions I put with that text is, and I was there in 1996, and I'm just saying, I'm here in fullness in 2025 and beyond. Is your life well lived? That is, do your best to present yourself as one approved unto God. Live your life unto God. I will do that, and I invite you to do the same. And the second question is the work well done? Or am I taking shortcuts and just trying to get by, etc.? No, I will tell you, I will give myself fully as a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And third is the word well used. And it's one of the greatest privileges of my life is to be able to represent our Lord with the word of God. It's humbling. I feel utterly inadequate. I won't preach a message unless I feel like I'm caught up in personal transformation with the text itself, because he's worthy of our lives being changed and transformed, not just for salvation, but for sanctification. For all the days of your life, let him change and transform you. I'm just a solid, I will seek to do that in full. I'm full throttled all through 2025 and beyond. And for you, well, in a moment, you're going to hear from Jerry Barnaby, our leadership board chair, who will talk a little bit about next steps. But I want to tell you that we began this process all the way back in 2017. We had a scenario that if I was to die in a plane crash or retire or other things, there was a communication plan. In 2018, we even codified a succession plan and what it would look like. And by the way, it even included, you're going to believe this, my obituary was written in 2018. How many of you can say that? I've taken huge pressure off of my children for that day. Our board is so amazing. They are thorough. They are in the boiler room. You don't know even who they are probably, but they do a yeoman's work to keep us united. And they have set forth a beautiful plan, which Jerry will speak to next steps in just a moment. But can I count on you to embrace Romans 12:10, which says, be devoted to one another in mutual love. The strength of that is be devoted. This is a time to increase, not decrease. Be devoted to one another in mutual love and honor one another above yourself. And then can I also invite you to keep trusting God? This is the most important thing that I'm going to say to those online in Bush Lake, at West Tonka, and here. This is the most important thing I'm going to say, that the primary leader of Westwood Community Church is staying, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we celebrate who he is. This is his church. It always was. It is today. It will be tomorrow. He knows what's ahead. He sees what's ahead. And with his mighty right hand, he's going to guide us into his preferred future. And I go with that confidence in Christ, and I'm inviting you to do the same as we journey. But I'm going to invite Jerry Barnaby to come on up. Jerry is our leadership board chair. He's going to share a few other words of next steps for us. And I just think, could you honor our board? They're amazing. And Jerry leads that effort. So grateful for all of you. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Joel. Good morning, Westwood family. I am privileged to share a few thoughts on behalf of the Westwood Leadership Board. Today is a historic day for Westwood Community Church. We have only ever had one senior pastor, so this is a new season for all of us. We know that Pastor Joel's news has sparked a wide range of emotions, and we know that many of you may need some time to process your thoughts and feelings. But we want you to know that Pastor Joel and the leadership board have been preparing for this day literally for years. As Pastor Joel shared, back in 2017, the board put in motion a process to prepare our church for this next chapter. Over these past 7+ years, the plan has evolved, especially as we saw this day coming. In the days and the weeks ahead, you'll hear specifics about the process that will follow, but know that we have already seen amazing evidence of God's favor on this plan. We also want you to know that the board is excited, actually overjoyed, that we have found a way for Joel to have continued involvement in our church and the community as founding pastor rather than as the lead pastor. We still have work to do together. This morning, I have two asks of you. First, if you are a member, will you make it a priority to attend a special business meeting being held 2 weeks from today on Sunday, February 23rd at noon at the Chanhassen campus? We have two important action items for the meeting. Our church constitution provides that the leadership board will lead in selecting the next pastor, but we will propose amendments to the constitutional provisions governing the search for a senior pastor so that we can begin this important work right away. We will also ratify members of our search committee. Look for an email, read the weekly, or check the church website for details, and also for regular updates on the search process. My second ask is to pray. As Pastor Joel reminds us often, prayer is our way forward. So be in prayer for Joel and Carrie as they embark on this journey. Pray for the board, for the search committee, and for our church staff. Pray for the process itself, and pray for the person God will call to Westwood. Let's celebrate the tov, the good, taking place around us and through us because of Joel, Carrie, and Westwood. And let's continue to be and love like Jesus. Will you please join me in a posture of prayer? Gracious Father, as we enter this new season, we are reminded of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and hear it as your call to us. Westwood, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Father, we trust you wholeheartedly for all that is ahead. We don't want to go our own way. We submit to you, knowing that as this transition journey unfolds, you will give us a straight path within your will, a path that leads both to a new senior pastor and to a deeper relationship with you and your son, in whose beloved name we pray. Amen. Please stand now as Jimmy comes to lead us in worship.